The Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey is a leading provider of advanced reproductive technologies, sharing its knowledge with you. It's time for Fertility Talk with RSCNJ. Here's Melanie Cole.
When a woman cannot carry a healthy pregnancy, she can turn to a gestational carrier, a surrogate who carries the fetus created from the egg and sperm of the parents. My guest today is Hina Ahmed. She's a physician assistant at the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Hina. What is a gestational carrier?
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for having me on the show again. I'm glad we're talking about this topic because I feel like it's an area that not many people know the details about. I think they understand the general idea but don't understand, you know, overall what exactly is gestational carrier and what it should be used for. So the gestational carrier is a person, a female of reproductive age, who will carry a pregnancy for another female. Now, the way that a gestational carrier will work is that the pregnancy is established by creating an embryo from the female, we call them intended parents. So this is the parent that will eventually be responsible for the child born from the pregnancy. So that female's egg and her spouse or partner's sperm are put together to create an embryo, and that embryo is then placed inside of a carrier, and that carrier will, go through the pregnancy, deliver the baby, and then the intended parents, who were the original biological parents, will then be the parents that actually take care of the baby.
So what's the difference between, people hear the word surrogate, and then you say gestational carrier, what's the difference?
So there is a subtle difference between the two. The difference is that, like we had talked about gestational carrier, you use the embryo that is created from the biological parent. The female actually will produce eggs, and we retrieve those eggs from the intended parent female, the biological mother, and that's what is used to create the embryo for the gestational carrier. Surrogate is a different situation. In a surrogate, the female who is also carrying the baby, in that situation you'll be using her eggs. You may be then using the sperm of the partner in the couple. Sometimes this is a good route for same-sex couples, male couples, who would like to, have a baby, where they will then have a female who will inseminate with their eggs and then carry the baby, and then the baby will eventually become theirs to raise and is then their child. But the genetic link for the mother in the surrogacy situation is the actual person that actually delivers the baby as well.
So who might need a gestational carrier? What reasons would you speak to?
A gestational carrier will be usually in the situation where the female cannot carry the pregnancy on her own. So there are different situations where this may occur. The cancer may have happened in the history of the female, of the intended parent, where a uterus had to be removed. The ovaries should still, in that sense, be intact. Sometimes women are born without a uterus. There is a syndrome that's called Meyer-Rokitansky Custer-Hauser syndrome, and women are born without a uterus in that syndrome, but they do have ovaries. So this allows people who are without a uterus, females without a uterus, who can then create embryos with their own eggs that can be carried inside another woman, which I think is a tremendous thing for a couple. Finding out the news that either your uterus has to be removed or you don't have a uterus as a reproductive age woman is a earth-shattering kind of news. And so, obviously when you hear this news, the first thing that you think is that I'll never be able to have children. But this will, there are things we can do. And so that's why it's such an important thing and something that people should be aware of, because it shouldn't seem like it's the end of the road for these type of couples.
Are there certain parameters to being a gestational carrier?
Yes. What we like to see in a gestational carrier is that as a healthy woman, a reproductive age, generally the recommendation is that the carrier is under the age of 40, above the age of 21. Proven fertility in the past is important, not just the fertility part of it, but also the ability to carry a pregnancy. So if they've had a couple of pregnancies on their own in the past, it's always a plus point. The other plus point is that, obviously making sure that these pregnancies did not have any complications. We like to, if the carrier has had vaginal deliveries, they prefer that over C-section, so that's not a deal breaker. So all of these, you know, we want to make sure that there is some proven history that they were able to carry a pregnancy in the past, and that's always a plus to have that. Now, do we use carriers that have never carried a pregnancy in the past? That has been done before. There are certain circumstances for that where that may be something that we do. But, you know, it's a case-to-case basis. The recommendation, though, is to use a carrier, like I said, of reproductive age above 21 until the age of 40 that has had some type of proven pregnancy in the past that was uncomplicated.
And Hina, people have been hearing in the media for years about legal issues surrounding surrogacy. What are the legal issues with a gestational carrier? Are there any?
So there are legal issues, and this is why it's very important that when you first decide you want to use a gestational carrier, you know, you'll come in, usually talk to your physician about this, and kind of, you know, I know what we do in our practice is we run through the things that are important that need to be done before we even start the process of using a carrier. And because there are strong legal issues attached to using a gestational carrier, the first recommendation we make is to make sure that you find a reputable lawyer who has experience in this field in order to help guide you through the whole legal process of this. You know, there are special laws within each state. You know, something, in New Jersey may be different from something in even Pennsylvania or New York. You know, these things all make a difference. I'll give you an example. In New Jersey, the person that delivers the baby is considered the birth mother, not necessarily the biological mother. So if this is the situation, what we recommend is patients in New Jersey will then find a carrier, you know, in Pennsylvania or Delaware, where these, you know, stipulations are not there, so that when the baby is delivered, you know, the stipulation of the birth mother being the person delivering the baby can be avoided. And in Pennsylvania and in Delaware, the laws are different. And so, again, the details of the laws will always be explained to you by a reproductive lawyer, which is, you know, and we will definitely introduce patients to those lawyers and who are those people that will be able to help them. But, you know, this is just a small example of something that you do have to consider.
And what about finding a gestational carrier? Is that something that you help parents to be with, or do they go out and find them on their own?
Well, there's two ways to go about it. The first way is that, yes, you can find a carrier on your own. It could be someone that you know, sometimes a sister or a friend or, you know, some relative, someone that wants to help out, someone who you know will be reliable. And I'm all for using someone that you know, but I always tell patients that just to be wary because, you know, there's a lot of emotion at stake when it's someone you know personally. And, you know, just to take that into consideration. And part of that initial, you know, time that I was talking about before of the things we'll ask you to do before we actually move forward with the process, one of those things is a psychological consultation. And not so to evaluate the psychological state, so much as to evaluate everyone's readiness, or all parties involved's readiness to move forward with this type of treatment. And if there is a known person in the mix as a gestational carrier, it becomes even more important for that psychological consultation to occur with all parties involved. And again, you still would need a reproductive lawyer. You still want to draft a contract. There's so many intricacies to this type of cycle, which include, you know, who's going to pay for the cycle, who's going to pay for medical visits, or if there's any complications, what's going to happen, how many embryos are we going to transfer. So many little details that the reproductive lawyer will iron out in the contract. The other route that you can use is you can use an agency that screens gestational carriers. And what's nice about using an agency is that the carrier will be screened very rigorously, usually by the agency. There will be a home visit. They make sure that the home environment is good. They meet the carrier, and if they have a partner, they'll meet them as well. Make sure that the carrier and the partner are completely on board. You know, it's a 9-month commitment, so they have to make sure, and they do with a very fine-tooth comb, make sure that all of the ducks are in a row, that the person that is cleared by them is someone who will be committed to the process. And a lot of these women are committed to the process. I mean, they know the joy themselves of having a child, usually, because they have been proven as someone who's able to deliver a healthy pregnancy. And they want to be able to give back. You know, it's a huge undertaking for a woman to do that. It's not an easy thing. It's a commitment, like I said, 9 months commitment, or sometimes more, including the time that it takes to become pregnant. So, you know, it's important that you find a good carrier, and the agencies do a good job of screening them.
What a fascinating topic, Hina. And as there are so many details and parts, wrap it up for us with your best advice for parents wishing to explore the option of gestational carriers. What do you tell them that they really need to know about this?
So, Melanie, the first thing that I say is if you are curious or you're interested in using a gestational carrier, the first thing to do is to set up a consultation with your reproductive medicine physician, who will sit down with you and go over the process with you. The process is sometimes, you know, contains many steps, like I had mentioned, which will include, as I mentioned, a psychological consult, involvement of a lawyer. There's certain testing that needs to be done in regards to FDA regulations. So it's important to understand the whole process before you move forward. And the best advice that I can give anyone is not to rush the process, to take your time, find a good carrier, make sure that you're comfortable with the clinic that you're using. You know, make sure that all of the legal things are in place before you start any process. It's so important. People, I think, get so emotionally involved in everything, and any woman just wants to get pregnant as soon as possible. But it's, in this situation particularly, it's very important to take your time and really do your research and use your resources in order to get to the point where, you know, before you start a cycle, you feel comfortable.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Hina. It's great information. You're listening to Fertility Talk with the Reproductive Science Center of New Jersey. And for more information, you can go to fertilitynj.com. That's fertilitynj.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.